Erev Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Kitisa, in Parah, Bezat Hashem, this year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should and will give us the opportunity to participate in Parashat Kitisa in Parah, Beminyan, B'toch Bet HaKnesset, Bezat Hashem, safely, obviously. But anyway, one of the most tragic and catastrophic events to ever befall Am Yisrael happens in this week's Parasha. That's why the makam of the week, if you keep track, the makam of this week is makam Hijaz, which is the saddest of makamim. It's makamim that go for, funerals and stuff like that, because this week, usually the makam of the week usually has to do with the, with the parasha, whatever. Ashkenazim are listening to this, just lost them. Anyway, I try my best here. To follow along. They follow along. Yeah, so anyway, this week is Makam Fijaz because Chet HaEgel, Hashem Yirachem. Am Yisrael, like the Torah says, Yom Pukti Ufakati. Every time we get punished, every time Am Yisrael, you better believe that COVID, the punishment of COVID-19, in it includes some punishment for Chet HaEgel. Wow. Kadosh Baruch Hu swore that every time after Chet HaEgel that we get punished, there's part. Partially because of Chet HaEgel.
So, is it partially kapara or Chet HaEgel, or it's due to?
Due to kapara, I don't know, but possible. Anyway, after that, it's very interesting with the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Emor el bnei Yisrael, atem am kishe'orev." First of all, let Am Yisrael know you are a stiff-necked nation, and that term comes up again and again in this week's parasha. And guess what? It's used as a derogatory term by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Am Yisrael, and it's used by Moshe Rabbeinu in defense of Am Yisrael. You ever notice that? Am Yisrael uses the same term. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let them go. Anyways, you said yourself that they're stiff-necked. Let them go. Which is a totally different thing. We see Moshe Rabbeinu going down with the ship this week. Right, Matt? Moshe Rabbeinu goes down with the ship. A real captain, when the ship starts sinking, he doesn't jump ship. He told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgive Am Yisrael, and if not, I'm going down with them. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the epitome of captain. Moshe Rabbeinu was a true leader. Even though Am Yisrael was upset at them, and they were wrong, and they deserved it, Moshe Rabbeinu was the embodiment of love and affection for Am Yisrael. Leadership. He says, I'm not going to let them go when they're in trouble. Even when they're in trouble, who took the heat? Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll take it. Yeah? Bekitsu, it says, Rega echad e'ele b'kibdecha b'chiliticha. In a matter of a moment, I will come among you and destroy you. Ve'ata hored edicha me'alecha ve'edem ha'aisenach. And now, remove the crowns that you removed, that you received from Har Sinai, and then I'll figure out what to do with you. Sponno writes in his commentary in this pasuk, he says, we see in this pasuk two things. First of all, Hashem told them they were very upset. It says, "Vayitabalu." They were mourning. They were mourning the fact that what? That Hashem said, now I was supposed to lead you throughout the desert. Hashem says, from here on in, I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send a malach. And they were terribly heartbroken. And Hashem says the Sforno, "Atem mitabelim al ma she'amarti ki lo aile bekirbecha, vehu omnam tov lachem." Hashem says, you are mourning because I'm saying that I'm not going with you. He says, you don't understand. It's in your best interest. Because if I happen to be among you, the second you do something wrong, what am I going to do? I'm going to destroy you. So the fact that I'm removing myself, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and sending Malach in my stead, is actually to your benefit. And number two, he says, what did Hashem tell them to do? Remove the crowns. He says, why? Says, take off those crowns. Take off the tremendous levels that you reached on Har Sinai. Take those off. Why? Because if you continue to wear those crowns, if you continue to walk around with that same level that you achieved at Har Sinai, you will be susceptible, you will be liable to even greater punishment. And therefore, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what should you do? Take it off so that you're not a sitting duck. These two things, the Sichot Musar says something beautiful based on this Sforno. He says, we see several times in the Torah that what we feel, you know, where a person is, a specific place, a specific time, a specific context, creates more of a responsibility for a person to be aware of his surroundings. For instance, we spoke about it at the end of Parashat Yitro. V'lo ta'ale v'ma'alot al mizbechi. He couldn't go on steps, right? He had to go on a ramp. Why? Asher lo tigalei matecha alav. It's not tzanua. Says Rashi, was it really not tzanua? He was wearing pants anyway. Rather what? In random places, it might be considered tzanua to take the steps. And yet, because of the holiness, because of the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash, Hashem says, there, even at the tiniest lack of tzniut, you get nailed for it. We find the same thing by Adam HaRishon. Vayikach Adonai Elohim et Adam v'yinicho b'gan Eden. Says Rashi HaKadosh b'shem HaMidrash. Why did lekacho b'dvarim na'im ufitau li'ikanes? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to sweet talk Adam HaRishon and convince him to enter Gan Eden. Why? You think anybody needs to be convinced to go into Gan Eden? It's the best place on earth. The Midrash says, and Rashi HaKadosh quotes it, Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden was sitting under the shade of trees, and Malachim were roasting meat, right? Malachim were manning the grill and pouring him wine. That was Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden. Sounds good, no man? Instead of mad at the grill, it was Malachim. Mad is a Malach, but it was actually real Malachim. So he says like this. Yeah. So he says, so why in the world did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to coerce Adam HaRishon to come into Gan Eden? Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichot Musa, you know why? Because Adam HaRishon was no fool. He understood well that when you go into Gan Eden is Kodesh HaKodeshim. The greater the sanctity, the more responsibility a person has to preserve it, the more a person's going to be under the microscope. And that's why Adam HaRishon initially told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not interested, and Hashem had to coerce him. And guess what? Eventually, what happened in Gan Eden? He dropped the ball. He did something which had, you know, he listened to his wife. It may not have been the biggest sin, but because of the sanctity of the place, Hashem kicked him out, which is very weird. You know, the Torah says, when Hashem kicked him out, how could it be? It says, Vayishalecheu Adonai Elohim Gan Eden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kicked him out. Which is interesting, says the Midrash in Yalkut Shimoni on this Pasuk, Keshibra'o, Bera'o b'midat rachamim u'b'midat adin. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon with Chesed and Din. Rachamim and Din. How do we know? Vayivra Adonai Elohim et Adam. Afar min Adama. Nachon? But when he kicked him out, it says, Uchshtaldo, Tirado b'midat rachamim. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu kicked out Adam from Gan Eden, it was only with midat rachamim. What? His creation was with Din and rachamim? Being kicked out? Only rachamim. What in the world does that mean? How do you kick out a person with rachamim? Get out! Rachamim. What? What is that? And not only did he kick him out, Hashem put guards there, la tachereva mitapechet, all sorts of, you know, safeguards so that he didn't re-enter. How is that rachamim? Rather, it's the same thing. Says the Sichot Musar, you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu kicked out Adam HaRishon from Gan Eden? He says, because if I don't take you out, I'm doing this for your benefit. If I don't take you out, it's just going to get worse, and you're always going to be under the microscope, and you are always going to be, to continue to be punished even more severely. So that's why I'm kicking you out. Right? Anybody ever take that? I mean, not here, but in the Zoom, you ever take your kid to the dentist? In general, I'm usually the one to take my kids to the dentist because, you know, it's hard to watch your kid, you know, scream and kick, whatever. So I'm usually the one to do that. Stitches, Shalom Eda, I'm also the one to take them because I'm the one to restrain them. I actually, you know, physically, sometimes the doctors have to ask me. It's, you know, it's one of the worst things I've ever had to do in my life is restrain my children during, you know, during dentists, during stitches.
Like hold them down?
I have to act like a straitjacket, like physically restrain them so that the doctors can do what they want, you know, to do the stitches. But you know something? You know, somebody who's watching from the outside, if he's an idiot, you know what he says? What a bad father. I'm going to call child services. The father's torturing the children. What kind of father does that to the kid, subjects the kid to such torment, whatever? Who looks at it that way? An idiot. Why? Why would the father ever do that? Send the kid to fill a cavity, to do a root canal, to get stitches, to do anything. Of course it's hurtful. But everybody understands that when the father restrains his child in such a situation, what is that? Din or rahamim? Vaday it's rahamim. The child may not interpret it that way. But vaday it's rahamim. Of course it is. Why? Because if you don't fill a cavity, if you don't take care of a root canal, if you don't stitch up a wound, it can chalila get into much, much worse situation. The nimshal is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with Priyotav the same way. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Am Yisrael the fact that I'm not coming with you anymore in the Midbar, that is, it sounds like, it looks like Din, but it's actually Chesed in disguise. The same thing with Adam HaRishon. And the same thing says the Sforno, explains the Sichat Musar when he says, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Am Yisrael, remove your crown. Why is that? Because for better or for worse, you know, as much as we hate to look at it that way, when a person dresses a certain way, when a person, Mikey, we never like to judge people by clothes. What color your shirt is, what color your hat is, if you have a hat, you know what I'm saying? All these things are, we know that that doesn't say anything about the pnimiut of the person. But we know that for better or for worse, when a person dresses a certain way, especially if he dresses more to, you know, more in the rabbinical garb, more in the yeshiva boy garb, you can't dress in rabbinical garb and do whatever you want. Why? You can't do whatever you want anyway, regardless. But when you dress a certain way, you are, you know, you, people look at you differently. You are expected to live up to a higher standard. The crowns that we got by Har Sinai, again, obviously it's symbolic, but those crowns didn't define who we were. But in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those crowns held us to a higher standard. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you are already strike one with Chet Ha'Egel. And once a person sins, the Gemara says, Masechet Yomah, that kivan she'avar adam avera b'shana, when a person does an avera and then does it again, na'asit lo heter, it becomes mutar for him. Says Gemara, heter shel kadata, it becomes really heter, ela na'asit lo keheter, it becomes like it's mutar. That's why there's Mishnah Pirkei Avot that also says avera goreret avera, one avera begets another. Why is that? But I did tshuva. Even when you do teshuva, what does an avera do? Avera creates a prikat ol. You know what's prikat ol? Removing the yoke of heaven. And once you taste avera, a tzaddik who never sinned, he doesn't even know what it feels like. Once a person did the sin, even if he was chozer b'tshuva, it's a much bigger sakana of regression for him than for the tzaddik gamur shelo chata. Therefore, Hashem says, you already sinned with chata egel. You guys are in danger of sinning again. And therefore, I'm not going to walk with you. And I'm telling you, take off the clothing that makes you be perceived as more chashuv. You know why? Because that holds you to a higher standard. And you may be susceptible to an even greater punishment than you've gotten until now. Abotai, this is a really big zach. Okay? This is a zach. You know what vichtig means? Hashuv.
Important.
Yeah. Vichtig. Vichtig. No, dagesh, dagush, not rafun. Vichtig. It's in German also, Michael? Anyway.
Vichtig.
That's Amalek pronunciation. Zeh shel Am Yisrael, zeh vichtig. Nachon, yeah. Anyway. Aval, no, Germany is Amalek. You know, there's a Kabbalah from the Gaon Mivilna. The Germany is Amalek, you know that.
Before the Shoah?
Yeah. The Gaon Megillah writes in his Chidushim, Masechet Megillah.
Germania.
Yeah, Germania. Yeah, he writes. Yeah. There's a Kabbalah alayhim, Shem Amalek. Anyway, בקיצור, מכל מקום. No, that's the job of Melech HaMashiach and Chas V'Shalom. No incitement to violence, but there's a Shekabalah from the Gan Mivinah. מה נגיד? Yeah? טוב, אבל מכל מקום, רבותיי, this is a big thing. A person, you may not perceive yourself as חשוב, consider, but depending on the time and place, there's a certain התנהגות, and especially for Bnei Torah, especially in Bet HaKnesset, especially for people who represent the Torah and places that represent the Kadosh Baruch Hu, whatever way we behave in general, we have to remember that we, especially Am Yisrael, especially Bnei Torah, Bnei Yeshiva, Bnei Aliyah, these are people who are constantly under the microscope, Be'ayne Ha'amun, in the eyes of people, in the eyes of the world, and we have to act as such, and we are taken to task as such. U'svivav nis'ara me'od, says the Pasuk in Iyov. It's a very, very important lesson, Rabbi Tai. The, you know, we know, the Pasuk says, U'svivav nis'ara me'od. I'm sorry. Hen b'kdoshav lo ya'amin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even trust his kedoshim. Even the tzaddikim he doesn't trust. And Rabbi Yochanan, when he got to this Pasuk in Iyov, the Gemara says, Masechet Chagigah Daf Hei, he would cry. And he says, if Hashem doesn't trust the tzaddikim, who's he going to trust? What's he going to say about the Rasha'im? And that's why it bothered Rabbi Yochanan. One time the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan was walking on the way and he saw a person picking figs from a fig tree. So it was Hefker. He was picking figs from a ownerless fig tree and he was picking only the non-ripe ones. He would pick only the non-ripe figs, but he left all the ripe ones. Rabbi Yochanan saw this. So he asked him, he said, sir, why are you picking only the non-ripe figs? The unripe figs, why don't you pick the ripe ones? He says, you don't understand. I'm going on a journey. And if I take the figs that are ripe now, they're going to rot real quick. They're not going to last me. Since I'm going on a long journey, what do I have to take specifically? The unripe ones that'll stay for longer. And as I travel, they'll ripen more. Rabbi Yochanan says, wow. You know what you just said? He says, sometimes Hashem takes the tzaddikim, the unripe ones, the young ones. You know why? Because of the journey, he wants to take them. Those are the best ones. The best ones are the unripe ones. That's what the pasuk means. Why? Because he says, the ones that are already ripe, those rot the fastest. He says, I'll take the young one. That's why the pasuk says, "Hen b'kdoshav lo ya'amin." Anyway, it's a very, very interesting Gemara. So, whatever it is, we are constantly under the microscope, and we have to act as such, and we can't let that down our guard, because that's what happened to Am Yisrael in Midbar, and it didn't end well. And we are here, every single generation, to continue being mechaper al cheta egin. Rabotai, thank you for listening. Shabbat shalom borach. Enjoy. Kol tov. Shlach harav. That's Eshkoyach to you. Yeah.
Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Where was